Hello and welcome to the Life Traffic Control Podcast. This is one of your hosts, Steve, or some may know me by my call sign, Bandit. Today, I'm recording this episode as the lone host of the show. It was never meant to be a one-man show. The intent was that I would be co-hosting this podcast with one of my good friends, Captain Kevin Flash Larson. Flash and I originally wanted to have a show where we talked about health and fitness. But after a few episodes, Flash realized that there was so much more to talk about than lifting weights and eating healthy. Flash really wanted to dive into anything and everything that could simply help people live a better life. Our podcast mission then changed to just that, aiming to help others live their best life. For those of you who know Kevin, this should come as no surprise. Kevin certainly did always have fitness and nutrition advice to give at the ready, but what he was most passionate about was teaching others the importance of presence and mindfulness. Kevin could have been an ambassador for Eckhart Tolle, as much as he recommended to everyone his book, The Power of Now. But Kevin simply wanted to spread a positive message any way that he could. His smile was contagious, and his laugh would automatically trigger you to do the same. He had that personality where he knew no stranger and made friends with almost everyone he came into contact with. His larger-than-life character and personality is abundantly evident throughout the podcast. Unfortunately, the reason I'm recording this episode as the only host is because 1 year ago, Captain Kevin Flash Larson left this earth. Everyone who knows Flash was deeply affected by this loss. This episode is a tribute to him. It's sort of a highlight reel from all the podcasts we recorded together. I chose the clips that I believe best exemplified who he was. I hope it can help us remember him and honor him. Although this podcast never took off like Kevin and I had dreamed of, I am extremely glad that we will always be able to go back and hear Flash's voice, and most importantly, hear his message. I'll attribute fat to some part of where I am today.
Just for the record, one of us has not done CrossFit. You can tell by who has not mentioned it.
So true. But he's going to do CrossFit. He's going to do CrossFit because he needs to know. Your industry being like, hey, man, we're struggling. Can you just like...
And the conspiracy theory started in episode one.
Yeah. No joke. But yeah, you know.
So I argued that one. In college, several times, people like... I had ladies stay over and like, you can have cereal for breakfast. and look at all the vitamins in here.
Right.
And there's not that many carbs. Like, it's way better than having a donut or something like that. Pancakes.
Yeah. And, man, Dr. Ansel Keys.
Oh, it is a mental thing.
Dude.
It is a mental thing. We can lock you in a room by yourself, too, if you want.
Well, I'm not talking about surviving prison. Or jail. I'm sorry, you were in prison. I'm talking about just fasting for a day.
Yeah.
But, I mean, because if you think about it,
there's completely different aspects of it, too. I'd say the biggest is going to be what you use for it. So when you go to that point, I mean, in all reality, bodybuilders are going to have the edge in most everything, because when it comes down to lifting things, if you're doing it in your daily life, you're not trying to do compound movements, lifting something or moving something or putting something somewhere.
Wait, so bodybuilders have the edge?
I would say so.
See, I completely disagree, because think about this.
When are you going to need to do a burpee?
Okay, but you're taking one
a little bit.
Yeah. No, go.
If their CrossFit has a pyramid, and I can't quote it exactly how it is, but at the base of it,
it's not a food pyramid, is it?
No. Again, you can stereotype a CrossFitter this. I'm gonna do my bodybuilding guy, just the random guy at the gym who's got a cut off hoodie, a hat, most likely flat build, huge headphones, notebook, carrying a jug of water. And is doing curls on the squat rack. White rice. You should eat white rice. And maybe that was post-workout.
You shouldn't eat white rice, or
no,
you should. Okay.
So maybe that was post-workout, but I just a little, like, remember seeing something on T-Nation when I was in, like, college or whatever that was an advocate for white rice. And ever since then, I mostly eat white rice.
Yeah.
So I mean, I could be swayed if I'm presented a good, valid argument.
No, so I'm here to support your white rice claim.
Okay.
So
Teen Asian is right.
So phytins, which are actually an anti-nutrient. So when your body absorbs phytins, I'm pronouncing that wrong.
It's kipping or strict.
My body doesn't do complex movements to kip.
Yeah, that's... They know that they can get their calories in a smaller window, and I think it's fine. But
I don't think we have any pregnant listeners at this point.
You don't think we don't think there's at least one pregnant woman out of all of our 11 listeners right now?
Not yet.
Maybe someday. But yeah, I would
in college too. Like I used to smash a pizza and see, after a workout.
Yeah,
and I probably sounded like that after I ate it too.
Give me some pizza.
So, and the problem.
I just think it's funny because most chocolate milk probably still has like high fructose corn syrup or chocolate syrup or whatever in it. Yeah. That's probably not the best thing for you. It's going to cause an insulin spike. So, or especially if it's like 2%. Now you have fat in there, which is going to slow down that absorption anyway. Yep. So, yeah, that's pretty funny.
So let's try and bring intermittent fasting into a workout schedule.
What's up, Flash?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Good, good.
So what do you got here?
So I think it's time that we discuss possibly the best thing to ever happen to anything, and that is the inception of what's soon to be Space Force.
Space Force?
Did you not hear that?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God.
What's Space Force?
Oh, my God. So, Trump wants to make a Space Force. Not even lying, dude. How
a Space Force.
Awesome is that?
To go to war with the aliens when they come?
I don't know exactly what it's for, but I'm not arguing with the Commander-in-Chief. Space Force, dude.
Oh, my gosh. I thought that was Air Force's job.
Well, it technically is, but I think he wants to make it even bigger and like have it.
Its own branch.
Yeah, because if you think about it,
Air Force, so Space Force.
So right now, the Air Force is doing space ops, but that's still like a budget within the Air Force going to that space mission.
Okay, yeah.
So if you have its own DoD branch, it gets its own taxpayer dollars.
Oh man, I don't know how I didn't know this.
Dude, there's so many good like. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I think it kind of sucked when they shut NASA down. I think that we should have some type of tax, like a government space type of thing. So if you just want to call it, like if NASA is the same thing, but it's called Space Force, I'm all for it, whatever. And if you can integrate the military and NASA kind of in one thing, I think, because generally I feel like a lot of times innovation will start as like a military thing and then kind of translate into civilian technology afterwards. So,
yeah. That's fair.
I don't think it'd be a bad thing to get back into space exploration, you know?
Oh, Space Force.
But yeah, so what's funny is like there's like memes picture and it's like 2025 Space Force uniform of the day, Darth Vader costume. We could buy all those, make our product, make it by our own canisters, our own labels, you know, with unicorns and stars and all the cool shit we want on our label. And then
we should copyright Space Force right now.
Space Force juice, baby.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. And again, it's like, how long is a pig going to survive and how is he going to thrive or is he just going to be alive, you know? So, but anyway.
Is he Wheezy Pig now? Is Wheezy Piggy?
Yeah. But that's cool though. Anyway,
you're getting cortisol production sometimes when you overload on sugar.
Absolutely.
You get that insulin spike. Absolutely. And then you're getting your body stressed and producing cortisol. So, I mean, there are lots of times that we're getting excessive cortisol that we shouldn't be.
Sure.
So, sorry to drag us back to the testosterone one last time. I know it's going to get a little bit weird, but so morning wood, here we go, is directly linked to testosterone health.
Yeah.
So a good night's sleep and waking up with your little friend.
A little morning woody.
is actually a really good sign that you have good testosterone levels. And when you're not getting that and you're not waking up at that level, I mean, sleep is a huge factor in that testosterone production leading into that. And so maybe you want to think about getting a little bit more sleep if that's...
I know.
that's not happening for. Yep.
Speaking of that, there's a fellow in our squadron. His last name is Wood. His call sign morning.
That had to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. There was no other way he wasn't getting morning as his call sign.
I mean, it's one of those things, like, knowledge doesn't just go away and all adjust. It either dies out and the new replaces it.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't just, like, everyone doesn't convert. It takes this phase. Like, the world was flat, and everyone thought the world was flat.
Right.
And once it finally came out and was finally started to be accepted that the world isn't flat, like, you think half the world or the entire world just was like, okay, that's the truth. We're all going to accept it now. No. You had people at that time who died thinking the world was flat. I mean, you have people right now still who think the world is flat.
Yeah.
Like,
isn't that funny that we still have flat earthers now? God. Like, there's literally, like, pictures of Earth from space.
Oh, they're all phony. They're all garbage.
Yeah.
Do you see Elon Musk's post after he did the SpaceX launch, the first one into space?
No. What did it say?
Oh, he put a picture of the Earth on there in space and cubed it into it. Like, made into a cube, and he goes, take that, round earthers.
Elon Musk. He's a man. He is a man.
So
that's awesome. Yeah, no, you're definitely right.
It's just that fat diet, like people will cling to what they know. I mean, even, well, I don't want to go biblical here or religious.
It's fine.
But, like, whatever people believe, like, there are people out there that will defend that and not open up their eyes and not be open-minded. Absolutely. Enough to take in new information, even if it's laid out right in front of them.
Right.
Even if it's their friends, their family, whoever right around them. It takes that. Some people can't even get that cataclysmic event to get them to switch over and finally believe something. Yeah. They will believe that till they die.
Yeah.
There's so much evidence in every direction. It's just mind-boggling. Like, you can look up and, like you said, this article that has scientific evidence. That's my air quotes, by the way. Scientific evidence saying that saturated fat is bad for you because it's – and coconut oil is bad for you. But at the same time, you have all these other studies saying, well, no, this is right. And the truth of the matter is, we didn't conduct any of those studies. We don't know.
Right.
You didn't conduct those studies. Yeah. You probably don't know for sure either. So you have to pick which ones you choose to take. And, I mean, if you look at the old scientific facts that were done by these doctors, like, some of these studies, like, they can tweak and write and alter their thesis or alter their results just enough.
Absolutely.
To get what they want. But,
yeah.
I mean, the truth is, like, if you try it and it doesn't work, or you try it and it does work, like, there's your truth right there.
Yeah, that's what
So that's primarily what it is. Is once you get your body above that aerobic workout to that anaerobic workout phase, that once you cross that 70% heart rate line,
right,
varies a little bit from person to person, of course.
Sure.
So once you get across that, your body goes, oh shit, like, this is life or death.
Yeah.
Like, it thinks, like, I need to get my next meal or not become his next meal.
Right.
As human beings, like, if you go back to our primal nature, why would we ever be in that state? Blood type O is the original hunter gatherer, and
I thought we're all original hunter gatherers. Yeah.
UAV mutations are not
peasants.
So, the O blood type is hunter gatherer, and I found for myself that eating a lot of grains, rice, things like that, make me feel sluggish.
Sure.
Like, I don't feel good after eating them.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel good while I'm eating them, but I don't feel good after I've eaten them.
Yeah.
That sucks. That's huge for me. And I noticed that a lot of other O blood types are the same way. And that's also kind of defined in the O blood type realm. Whereas you get to the A blood type, which were the first, like, farmer agricultural based societies, and that adaptation, that A antigen that came onto the blood cell that helped with different things. It also caused various mutations in the body. Like, stomach acid wasn't as strong at this point because they didn't need it for eating as much meat, whereas the O blood type excels at eating red meats and with the higher stomach acid. You see that when you see bodybuilders having heart attacks.
Yeah.
Like, of course, most of those are induced by a lot of the supplements and extra stuff they're taking.
Vitamin S.
Yeah. But bodybuilding requires stretching, whether you want to do static or active stretching.
Yeah.
It requires
it does.
To keep your body fully functional.
Yep.
And mobile. And it requires cardiovascular training through running, biking, yep. rowing, yep. swimming, whatever it is, to keep your heart up to that level.
Yeah.
What I recommend is people start, find a time that they can do without too much stress on your body, because you're going to get hungry. You're going to get those hunger pains at first if you're not used to it. So if it's 12 hours, 14 hours, maybe even 15 hours when you start, and then just practice adding a half hour each day until you get to the goal that you want to be at. Yeah. And you'll notice a difference in it too. You'll be able to extend that longer and longer. And part of that is if your body's not used to going into ketosis, it's like riding a bike. It takes a couple rides sure. to get it going sure. again. And it doesn't take much, but it won't come right back to you just the first time you hop on it.
Absolutely.
Omega-3 for sure.
Yeah. So big thing with omega-3, 90% of your brain is made of omega-3 fatty acids. Of that, I want to say it's 80% of that 90 is made from DHEA or DHA, mm-hmm. which is one of the specific fats inside of, or one of the specific omega-3 fats.
Yeah.
And it's been proven now through science that getting enough DHA will help your brain go through neurogenesis, where it actually repairs and grows new cells. So before we thought, yeah, if your cells die, they're done, they never come back. But now we're realizing, no, that's not true. They can regrow yeah. and they can repair damaged cells or lost cells.
Sure.
And that's, it's really funny. So if you yourself live in like a very cloudy climate area, so let's say Seattle's a great one, where it's overcast very often, you don't get out in the sun the few times that it is, and you don't have your shirt off because it's cold. So those days, and then you take a trip out to, let's say, Hawaii for like 3-4 days, you will feel phenomenal while you're there and when you come back, because you are probably vitamin D deficient, which is huge. It plays yeah. a huge role, just like magnesium, in your hippocampus region, so your memory, your mood health. And then it also plays another role, other roles throughout your brain. But just that amount of overdosing of, well, not overdosing, but like superloading on vitamin D for a few days will keep you healthy and brain health in a good mood
sure.
for a week yeah. afterwards, if not more.
We talked about hormone balance in there.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things though that ties in right to that is hormone production. So testosterone production is directly linked to sleep as well.
Sure.
It's another one of those huge things. And if you're an athlete, if you're doing any type of fitness or any type of weightlifting at all, your body needs testosterone. And the more you have, the better you are. That's why these guys on steroids have so much growth for the same amount of workout as someone who's not on it. It's just that level of testosterone allows for that much quicker recovery, that sure. much more growth, all that. And sleeping will increase your testosterone.
Right.
If you talk to a doctor and have your testosterone tested, they like for you to do it first thing in the morning, right when you wake up, because that's when you're at your highest. Is right when you come out of your sleep, and it's usually a stable amount, and you can test as a baseline best by doing it after you sleep.
Sure.
Another thing to do is when you're starting to lie down, get ready for bed, like focus on your breathing.
Yeah, deep breath.
That's
diaphragm
just,
breathing.
Just focus on like the breath, how it feels coming yeah. in and then how it feels coming out. And if you do a 5-second rotation on your breath, so breathe in for 5 seconds, a nice slow breath in, nice deep breath in, hold it for 5 seconds, breathe out for 5 seconds, and then wait 5 seconds again before you breathe in again. So it's taking 20 seconds almost to do an entire breath. When you do that, you stimulate the vagus nerve, which triggers all the relaxation in yep. your body, in your mind, everything. It just completely hits your entire body with that relaxation. And if you do it for a couple minutes, you can get your full body and the nice tingling sure. body high sensation. Yeah. The big thing is he renames that little voice inside your head, that other person that talks to you, is your ego.
Yep.
So he describes it. He goes against what Descartes says. I think therefore I am.
Yeah.
He says that's exactly wrong. Like, what we think and all that is not who we are.
Right.
What our thinking does is detract from who we are. It takes away from who we actually are. An example I tell people all the time is, I'm like, you're driving down the street and you see some guy on the side of the road and he's trying to get under his hood, or he's walking with a gas can or something like that. Instinctively, you kind of think, oh man, should I help that person? Like, you have that urge, and you want to do something, like
you want to do something
yeah.
good. Yeah.
And then then that voice in your head goes, ah, you got to be to work.
He's a serial killer.
He's a serial killer. Yeah. Like, you don't have time for this. Yeah. What if you get your car dirty? Like, you run through 40 different reasons in right. your mind, and they're all excuses to keep you from being who you truly are sure. and being that good person.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
So the first thing is to realize, catch yourself thinking all the time. I myself remember having a conversation with a girlfriend back in college, and I asked her what she was thinking, and she said, oh, I'm not thinking about anything. And I was like, my mind runs 24/7 nonstop. Like, I know there are thoughts going through your head
yeah.
because they're going through mine all the time. Right. And she had just zoned out, and it really, like, I look back on that, I'm just like, man, I was so engulfed in my own thoughts, my own ego
yeah.
that I didn't even realize it and think it was a problem. And now, so first you learn to notice that it's a problem. And Eckhart Tolle teaches you to ask yourself this question: what's the next thought that's going to pop into my head? And you just sit there and wait for it. and that is the first step, I think. And it's brilliant too. It's the first step in creating space and actually being able to see that space
right.
and understand that. And once you get a taste for it, then you can expand on it. And at first it may only be a couple seconds at a time.
Absolutely.
You catch yourself in thought a couple more seconds. Soon it's 10 seconds, sometimes up to a minute. And then soon you can get to the point where you can go minutes without a thought. And then that thought comes in and then it goes out and you're back into the present. Right. And when you get to that point, I mean, doesn't matter how bad your life situation is, which that's getting a little ahead, but he talks about your life situation as all the things that are going on in your life that aren't currently right here.
Yeah.
But they're the situation around you, not in your present moment.
Sure.
It doesn't bother you anymore. And so creating that space and not constantly thinking about those things, it doesn't create that pain, that anger, that whole slew of emotions,
sure.
negative emotions. So it's you can use time as a planning tool. You can use it as a tool, but don't live in time is kind of what he teaches. So living in time is going back and reliving moments of your past,
right.
be they good or bad.
Right.
Because either way, if you're reliving moments of your past or creating the moments in your future, they're all negative. Every single one of those moments is negative. If you're thinking into the future, worried about punishment or something that's going to happen, clearly that's negative. But if you're looking into the future thinking, oh, you know, it's going to be so much better in 2 weeks when I'm in Hawaii on the beach or yeah. this, or when this whole thing's over with or whatever it is, that living inside that positivity isn't really positive. It's not doing anything
sure.
positive for you. It's taking you away from
right.
the present moment
right.
and it's negative.
Yeah.
And that's a huge stress relief for most people.
Yeah.
And the reason why it's a stress relief is because when you're in your head, that's where all of your anxiety does not exist without thought. End of story.
Absolutely.
You can't get sad. You can't get angry. You can't get anxious.
Right. And same with depressed without
or
thinking
depressed.
About,
yeah. 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 So any of those negative emotions on the scale from sadness to rage, they don't come without thought. And so when people separate themselves from thought, and this is what we do as human beings, is we find things to take us away from our thoughts. And I think it's absolutely hilarious the way we look at it as a society. But so smoking, drinking, drugs,
yeah.
TV,
oh God.
Video games,
yeah. Yeah.
Working out at the gym,
yeah.
all these things that we do, playing sports, all those things take you out of your head and bring you into the present.
Yes. And
everyone,
right.
everyone on
right.
this planet
right.
is obsessed with those things.
Yes.
Just which ones they are.
Yes.
And so we all have those vices
yeah.
that, I mean, some of them are beneficial to our bodies.
Right.
Like eating is one.
Right.
The eating is a huge one.
Sure.
And so like you look at people who eat way too much. Like, how many people who are constantly in a good state of mind overeat?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people eat comfort food.
Sure.
Exactly, comfort food.
Yes.
It's when you're eating, you're enjoying the taste, you're out of your head, you're, oh, this is so good, oh, I love this. And next thing, you're on your next half gallon of ice cream.
yeah.
Another very common one is adrenaline junkies.
Oh yeah,
that one is that so
is,
big.
That is very true. When you're not doing, thinking about anything,
when you're in life or death situations, your thought process is zero. Done. That's it.
Yep.
And I mean, sports are another big one. There's a lot there. There's constantly something going on.
It's like slightly hits on the adrenaline, but like not as much of like you're talking about someone who's jumping in a squirrel suit. Or, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Bungee jumping or doing snowboarding
or climbing and all those different things. Absolutely. All those things that like if you screw up, like
And that's it's
so one of the things Eckhart Tolle talks about, and he relates it to the Bible, is he calls the peace of God, and or God's peace, which Christians use in church all the time. They'll say, "Peace be with you," or "God's peace." Right. And Eckhart Tolle calls that being present. So when you are completely present and your mind is not wandering and taking you off on some little journey, you are at peace. And the most negative feeling that you can possibly come across is peace, because there's nothing tearing at you. There's nothing pulling at you. You're just at peace.
Calm.
And you can be in an elevated state from there.
Right.
But you can't be in a negative state from there.
Right.
So they call it in the Bible all the time, the peace of God or everything or God's peace. That's what he's talking about. And he relates that several times, but so being at that state of peace with yourself, you can be anywhere in any situation. You can be waiting in line, stuck in traffic, and you're not throwing a fit. You're not worrying about other things. Like worrying about all the things that, you know, aren't going to change your situation at
all.
A big thing to know with this is that it doesn't just happen. You don't just become a mindful person and shed your ego, that voice in your head. It doesn't just happen like that. It is a process, and the process can take as long as it takes you to get to that point. I mean, it can take years, it can take months, depends. Right. And usually, Eckhart Tolle talks about it, is suffering brings us into the present. So,
absolutely.
And the big problem is, so our mind acts as resistance to what is going on in our life. It's resisting the past. That's why you go back and rethink the negative things and you want to punish yourself or punish somebody else for whatever happened.
So resisting the future, all the bad things that could happen.
Yeah. And so living in that state of resistance is really what detracts from your life. So when you come to the point of acceptance, you stop thinking and worrying about those things. So if you can suffering is a big way, and it doesn't work for everyone, but it is usually the key that awakens people.
Yes.
So there are people who suffer and get lost in their ego, absolutely. And they become worse, and they eventually go crazy.
Right.
But the suffering is our best chance to awaken from our ego.
Absolutely.
From that voice.
I know that it's going to happen. You're going to be challenged. Yeah. Like the universe is going to throw shit at you and you're going to have to either sink or swim.
I mean, in reality, there are so many people that have nothing going on that are suffering just because they don't have
anything going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. The lack of suffering is almost suffering itself.
Yeah. So, I mean, you'll look at people, and this isn't just poor people. Like people don't just suffer because they don't have things and stuff and jets and private yachts and fancy cars.
Absolutely.
Those people suffer too. Like if you look at the rich people, how many of them are addicted to drugs? How many of them are getting caught up in these terrible crimes and stuff because they have everything physically,
right?
But they don't have it mentally.
Yes.
They don't have that mindful life. And so they're constantly seeking that, and they're in fact destroying their lives in doing so. And this comes, your physical wealth that you have has no translation to your spiritual wealth.
Sure. Absolutely.
And so that's one huge thing, is you can see people in all spectrums of physical wealth, still in all spectrums of mental wealth, like completely opposite, the same. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. You can find a rich guy who's the nicest, purest, happiest human being in the world. And you can find a homeless guy who's the,
I mean, that's a big thing to it too, is usually one thing he says too is an enlightened person, a person who is completely mindful, can either be the most easy person to get along with, or if you are so engulfed in your ego, can be the most difficult person to get along with. We do that all the time. And we translate that pain and we just pass it off to one of our friends.
Absolutely. That's so true, man.
And you can defuse it as that friend. You can defuse it two ways. A, by taking on the pain body yourself, or you can do it by like being so mindful and so present, like asking them questions.
Right.
And it usually comes down to, you have to ask them questions, have to get them to wake up to it.
Yep.
Because they're unconscious. They're
still unconscious at that moment.
You gotta need them to wake up.
Yes.
And realize what they were just doing. And once it happens, like, they let go of that right. emotion. And that's the way a mindful or an enlightened person right. helps you defuse that problem. Recognize that space, the bigger it gets. And you'll go periods of just enjoying it. And all of a sudden, thought will come into your head, be like,
I haven't heard my voice in a while.
Yeah. Like, where did you come from? You just leave me for the last minute or two?
Yeah.
Like, and it'll start out only a couple seconds at a time. But when you're mindful of it, that's what will make it expand.
Absolutely.
And then that allows so much more control over your emotions, everything that's going on in your life, your stress, your anxiety. You completely get control of it.
Absolutely. Thank you for tuning in to this tribute to Captain Kevin Flash Larson. Again, everyone who knows Kevin is going to continue to miss him. And I'm super glad I was able to share this highlight reel from the podcast that we recorded. So glad that his memory and his voice will continue to live in the interwebs and through the radio waves. I'm going to continue this podcast on without Kevin. It's never going to be the same without him. I'm going to do my best to keep it going. I don't know how it's going to look in the future, but it was his dream to have this awesome podcast where we got to interview awesome guests, talk about cool stuff, and hopefully make people's lives better. So I'm going to aim to do the same. Until next time, this has been the Life Traffic Control Podcast, your host Bandit, and we'll catch you later. See ya.